listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Water, jobs, high-speed rail, fracking, prison realignment, sustainable development, those are some of the biggest issues facing the state today, the topics of debate in Sacramento. But take a second look at that list. Those are also all San Joaquin Valley stories, and that's the subject of a new column out this week on Zocalo Public Square from our next guest, Joe Matthews, who joins us now. Joe, welcome to Valley Edition.
Great to be with you, Joe.
Tell me about this idea, because I think it's really interesting. It sort of struck me when I first read your piece that these huge issues the state is dealing with all aren't necessarily centered in L.A. They aren't centered in San Francisco or the Bay Area or Silicon Valley. They're centered right here in the Central Valley.
That's right. I mean, it's really the year of the San Joaquin. Everything we're arguing about, you know, the San Joaquin is at the heart of where we're at. High-speed rail is often described as talking about costs. Are we going to connect L.A. to San Francisco? But the real fight is, and the real question there is, are we going to connect the San Joaquin to the coast? Water is the same. I mean, some of the heaviest water users, the impact of the drought has been felt strongest there, just across the board. And I think there's a question that's framed there that's maybe an uncomfortable one for people in the San Joaquin, but really the question is, how much are the rest of us in other parts of the state willing to do for you? Because that's where a lot of these questions come. I think in this election year where it's been very quiet, there hasn't been much engagement. There doesn't seem to be a narrative of the election. I think the most natural narrative, when you look at what little is being debated, really we should be having an argument about what the San Joaquin means to us and what its future should be.
Well, it's a very interesting debate, and one that was also thrust into the news about 2 weeks ago when incoming Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon made a comment about high-speed rail. And it's one of those instances where might have been a comment that had some thought behind it in its essence, but then he added on to it. And he was talking about his belief that perhaps funding for high-speed rail should be more directed to building the initial stretch in Southern California. And then he added on the kicker, which in this case put it, I guess, over the top, was that no one lives in Central California. There's nothing but tumbleweeds there.
I must say, I saw a tumbleweed 2 weeks ago outside Modesto, but there are, it's worth saying, because maybe even people in the Central Valley don't know it, but in the San Joaquin Valley, those eight counties, they have a cumulative population of nearly 4 million. That's as many people as live in Oregon. Fresno, the city of Fresno, has more people than either the cities of Atlanta or Miami. Stockton has more people than Cincinnati. Bakersfield has more people than the cities of Tampa or St. Louis. There are a lot of people there living amongst those tumbleweeds.
Yeah, yes, definitely. A lot of these issues, as you say, involve what is the rest of the state going to do for the San Joaquin Valley? And I think that is perhaps sometimes an uncomfortable truth that people here in this part of the state don't necessarily want to hear. But when that recent effort to split California up into six different states came about, a lot of people in this part of the state said, hey, that would create in this area the poorest state in the nation with some of the biggest problems. The San Joaquin Valley is, in general, a net importer of tax dollars and public services, is it not?
It certainly is. That's true, across the country. Urban areas pay much more and produce much more economic activity, so they pay much more in taxes than they typically get back. Even within the San Joaquin, it's a very diverse place. It's very urbanized in places. There's even a rural city divide there. I do think that the way that these questions have been framed are not helpful. The San Joaquin is not doing well as a place. Bakersfield's maybe doing better than some other places. And as a whole state, we need that to do well. We can't have a big region of the state with 4 million people having, double-digit unemployment persistently while much of the rest of the state recovers. You know, I think one thing that's probably not to the advantage of the San Joaquin is that it's when it becomes part of the California conversation, the conversation is about ag, which is not a very, I know this is a crazy thing to say, but it's not that big a business or that important a business in the state of California. It's, you know, the Apple, the company in Cupertino is, you know, has a sort of a value in a product that's about twice that of the agricultural product of California. So it's important, I think, to remind people that it isn't just farms there, that it's a lot of people, a lot of cities, a lot of communities that need assistance, that need help. And that really should be the at the heart of the conversation. It's not just a bunch of big farms. But I think too much in the California conversation, you know, when politicians come there, they talk about ag. You know, and for instance, a city of over 500,000 people, that's not nothing.
If you just joined us in Valley Edition today, we're talking with Joe Matthews, a columnist for Zocalo Public Square. You can find his latest column online at Zocalo's website. Joe, you were talking about the real debate in the state this year, how it should really be about what is the future of the San Joaquin Valley and how does it connect with the rest of the state. Something like high-speed rail was supposed to do that, supposed to offer an economic future to the valley that wasn't dependent on agriculture, as you were just talking about, by allowing people to, say, live in Bakersfield and commute into work in Southern California, or live in Fresno or Merced and commute into work in the Bay Area, and offer a different future that sort of has been lost in the political debate over high-speed rail now as the cost has escalated and escalated and escalated more. But does that really strike at the heart of the concept there behind that project? Whether the execution has been especially effective is another story, but do you think that's essentially the debate?
I think it is the heart of it is connecting it. That's what it's really about. It hasn't been explained that way, and that because I think the thinking was that, you know, we need to talk about San Francisco and Los Angeles and how these two things are connected and not all the things in between. But I don't think those are the strongest arguments. There are plenty of ways. I mean, as someone who lives in Los Angeles, it's actually pretty easy to get to San Francisco. It's hard to get to Fresno. It's hard to get to see my relatives in Modesto. And so having those kind of connections and the value of those, which I think you can start to put numbers on and certain human faces on, may make the price tag of doing this look more reasonable, would be my argument. I mean, the value simply of connecting, you know, having a faster rail connection than we had in the 19th century. We're still stuck at these very low speeds if you want to get over to Atchipies. That has huge value, not just to passenger rail, but to very clogged freight rail, which is, been a big issue that, you know, economic development officials in Kern County have been working on. But we really haven't had that conversation. We've had this sort of big sticker shock price argument, and is this thing going to get to between L.A. and San Francisco in 2 hours and 40 minutes? That's not what it's about. And ultimately, all these connections are having an argument about, are we really one state? Do the different regions have obligations to each other? And I think if we want to be one state, the answer to that question has to be yes. And, you know, is this particular high-speed rail project the best way to do it? I don't know. But we should be having an argument that proceeds from the idea that we need to better connect these things and how do we do it? And I think that there's an opportunity in all these sort of white-hot debates on water and high-speed rail and even immigration and prison realignment to have that kind of bigger conversation.
There's also an internal debate that goes on in this region, and you sort of struck upon it in talking about the size of the major cities in the Central Valley as they compare with other major American cities, and that this is a sizable population center. There's this urban-rural divide that's a constant tension here, whether we're looking at something like high-speed rail or just how the area will grow in the future. And I think it's evident here when we look at, there's a lot of folks who who kind of want the valley to stay as it is and don't really want it to change. And then there's others who see that it or feel that it has to change in some way. How do you think that plays into this overall issue statewide?
Well, I mean, certainly it doesn't help that the valley is not speaking with one voice, right? I mean, you look at the immigration issue where you have all kinds of businesses in the valley saying we need comprehensive reform, but yet, you know, perhaps the most powerful politician in the valley, Kevin McCarthy, you know, is leading the U.S. House majority, essentially blocking that reform. It's not, you know, as much as possible when regions can speak with one voice in California, they're going to do well. I mean, there's a dichotomy of, you know, of the mayor of Fresno being a supporter of high-speed rail, and the who's now, she's now the nominee essentially for state controller, and the gubernatorial candidate, Republican candidate Neil Kashkari, you know, same party, you know, making Ozzy Osbourne's song "Crazy Train" his theme song. I mean, there are real differences there that I don't think make it easy. I personally, when I look at it long term, think that the valley's future is in a lot more urbanization and growth. I mean, its advantages in cost, those advantages can be exaggerated. The quality of life is still, I mean, it's very strong there. Costs are low, at least when you're comparing to the rest of California, less so the West, make it a natural place if it does some smart things. You know, it could be a place where a lot of people go to retire, for example. Jerry Nicholsberg, the UCLA economist, has suggested that if you have more of the kind of infrastructure around seniors that they have in, say, Florida, the valley has a sort of a economy and cost of living that might be very, and weather even, that might be very attractive to retirees.
Before we go, one last question. You mentioned the most powerful politician, and that would be in this part of California, Kevin McCarthy, now a leader of the House Republicans in Washington, D.C. Do you think his ascent to power in Washington means anything for this part of the state, or is that more of a national issue and national politics will drive that?
I wish the answer was yes, it would mean more for that part of the world, but I think it's the national politics drives so much of that conversation, and the extent national politics intrudes because of him into the valley, I'm not sure that's terribly helpful to the valley. I think, you know, some of the best things you've seen in the valley are when people in the valley, you know, bridge some of those divides that you talked about and make compromises and find solutions. I'm not sure the sort of cesspool it is, partisan craziness that is national American politics, you know, being visited on the valley is going to be helpful in any way that I can think of.
We've been talking with Joe Matthews of Zocalo Public Square, his new column about the San Joaquin Valley, how it's at the heart of the state's biggest political issues this election year, is available online. Zocalo Public Square is the website at zocalopublicsquare.org. Joe Matthews, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.